Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Chof Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 4 lines from the bottom of Chof Vav Amud Beis. This section of Gemara we actually introduced with some degree of detail at the end of our previous shiur, but since the discussion itself continues a good ways down Chof Zayin Amud Aleph, we decided to go over the Gemara from this point. The Mishnah had mentioned Rabbi Yehuda's opinion regarding the end time for the morning Shmon Esrei was Ad Arba Shos, and the Gemara begins with that, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Arba Shos. When you say until the fourth hour of the day, is that until and including, up till and including, or up till not including? The difference being that if you say it's up till and including, so on a standard clock, you would be saying, given that you're dealing with 12 hours of daytime and 12 hours of nighttime, daytime beginning at 6 a.m. until the fourth hour. The fourth hour is defined from 9 a.m. till 10 p.m. till 10 a.m. So up till and including will be until 10 a.m., up till and not including will be until 9 a.m. The Gemara. Ibayalo, ad ve'ad bichlal, when we say up till, is up till and including, bich'ad bichlal, oy dilmo ad, flow ad bichlal, up till and not including. Toshma, so we attempt to resolve Rabbi Yehuda's use of the word ad from another example of Rabbi Yehuda with regard to tefilas mincha, where it says Rabbi Omer ad plag hamincha, that tefilas mincha goes until plag hamincha. And we mentioned in our previous year that the term plag hamincha means half of mincha ketana, mincha ketana being from 3:30 p.m. till 6 p.m. Rabbi Yehuda says that tefilas mincha goes until half of that, half of the of mincha ketana. So what does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says that? And if half of mincha, if mincha ketana is a 2.5 hour period of time, it would go, which goes from 3:30 p.m. till 6 p.m. Well, half of that is 4:45. 4:45 represents the point in time between the first half of mincha ketana, which is the first plag, and 4:45 till 6 p.m., the second half of mincha ketana. So now we see that Rabbi Yehuda says that you say mincha until plag hamincha. The triangles are here to help follow the direction the Gemara is taking. This is indicated under our Mivneh heading on the margin, which says that these triangles are l'hokel ma'akev adin, to be able to keep track of this give and take in the Gemara. Mi amrinon ad v'ad bichlal oy loy. So with the triangle point facing up, this will show us that we're going with the direction of saying ad v'lo ad bichlal. The Gemara says I amris bishlama ad v'lo ad bichlal. If you say that when Rabbi Yehuda says until plag hamincha, we should point out that in our previous year, Rabbi Yehuda said explicitly in a Tanaic source that when he uses the term plag hamincha, he means plag hamincha achreina. That we saw just a few lines up in the Mark Gemara, so you can see it's dashed, underlined. So his mind is concentrating on mincha, on plag mincha achreina for the time being. So until plag mincha achreina must mean up till and not including. And if you say that, then Hainu the Iko Bein Rabbi Yehuda L'Rabbanan, then we'll understand, we'll appreciate that there is a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, both of them appearing in the same Tanaic source. We've seen them in our Mishnah. So if you have two opinions appearing in a Mishnah, they must be at odds with one another, otherwise there would be no need to present two opinions to say the same thing. So if you say that Reb Yehuda's use of the word ad means up till and not including, and assuming that plaga mincha, as we saw before, meant the latter plaga mincha, the latter half of mincha tana, it means up till that latter half, but not including. That would mean Reb Yehuda's saying you'll say mincha until 4:45, and then they, Reb Yehuda is different from the Rabbanan, who said until Erev, until 6 o'clock. Elo I amris. Ad the ad bichlal, if you're going to take that approach, up till and including the last mincha, the mincha achron, plag mincha achrona, then Rabbi Yehuda, and we continue at the top of Chav Zayin Amar Aleph, Hainu Rabbanan. It would end up that they are saying the same thing, because Rabbi Yehuda, in saying until plag achrona, we say up till and including the plag achrona, up till and including that second half of Mincha Tana, which went from 4:45 till 6 p.m. So you'd be saying Mincha until 6 p.m. according to Rabbi Yehuda, but that's what the Rabbanan said, and they're both in the same source, and they can't be saying the same thing. Elomai. So what? Where does that leave us? Ad velo ad bichlal. So that Rabbi Yehuda is saying up till and not including. When he uses the term up till, he means up till and not including. If that be the case, Ema Seifa. Well, then say the following. There are some girsos, and Tosis makes mention of this, that doesn't introduce this with Ema Seifa, because this is not in the Mishnah text. It's not the Seifa of the Mishnah. But in our Mishnah, we saw it presented in parentheses, indicating a version difficulty, yes or not to include this in the Mishnah. Whatever the case is, this is very technical, but since Tosfos makes mention of it, we too are making mention of it, so that there's an alternative Gersa that says Toshma, like the beginning of Tosfos at the page, Toshma, this is representatively another source, in which it says, V'shel musafim kol ayom, Reb Yehuda omer ad sheva shois. The Tanakhama says you have all day to say musaf, and Reb Yehuda says until 7 hours. The emphasis for our purposes, the Reb Yehuda, and the fact that he uses the word ad. What does the word ad mean with regard to Reb Yehuda? If we're going to work with the assumption that means up till and not including, like we were thinking, the following is going to be difficult. Vitanya, the source, there's another source, and we've included it in the same frame because this is all Tanaic literature, and it says, Hoylufonov shtei tfilos. A person has in front of him the need to daven two prayers. Achas shel musaf, achas shel mincha. One being musaf and the other being mincha. So we're talking about a certain time of day where both of these tfilos are in front of him, and he needs to daven both of them. So the first opinion is mispalel shel mincha v'achakach shel musaf. The Tanakhama, who we are less interested in right now, he says that first you daven mincha and then you daven musaf. Shezu tadira v'zu eino tadira. Mincha is tadira, mean it's it appears, it occurs on a more regular basis. It's a daily davening. It's a daily prayer, as opposed to musaf, which is not tadir. It happens. The most frequent appearance of musaf would be on a weekly basis, from Shabbos to Shabbos. So we give preeminence to that which is tadira. Hence, this person would daven mincha before musaf. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, and here we have to focus, and that's why we have markings to help us focus. We dashed underline Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer mispalo shel musaf v'achakach shel mincha. This person is instructed to say the musaf shmones re first, and then the mincha. Shezu oiveres v'zu eino overes. The musaf, not without a literal translation, but it means the musaf is passing. That's a literal translation. It's passing, where time is running out. You have a person here that the time is running out for his musaf, when he in fact will have plenty of time left to daven the mincha. So the person that has these two tefillahs in front of him, musaf and mincha, and he has to make a choice. Rabbi Yehuda say, choose musaf, do the musaf text first, because you have limited time. Time is running out. Now let's not forget, Rabbi Yehuda said that musaf is ad sheva. Sheva means seventh hour. Something about seven over here. We also noted that the seventh hour of the day begins at 12 noon, 12, we'll call it 12 p.m. That's when the seventh hour of the day begins. He said, Ad Sheva Shos, until the seventh hour. Does until mean up till and including or not? So the Gemara continues, E Amr's Bishlama Ad V'ad Bichlal, and this, notice the triangle flipped over because this is the opposite of approach of what we've taken till now. If you say that his term Ad means up till and including, Hainu demishkachas lu shtei tfilos b'havi hadodi, then we can imagine the two prayers, Musaf and Mincha, being both in front of him, being simultaneously applying. We have to note that Mincha cannot be done earlier than the 6.5 hour of the day. It cannot be done earlier than 12:30 p.m. That's the earliest for Mincha. Musaf is until the seventh hour. What is meant by until the seventh hour? If you say it means up till and including the seventh hour, when does the seventh hour end? At 1 p.m. When does Tfilas Mincha begin? At 12:30 p.m. Well, there's an overlap of a half hour. Namely, at 12:30 p.m. the Mincha time begins, and by 1 p.m. the Musaf time ends. Now, person's got that time frame in which he's at that time. He's at 12:30 p.m. and the choice is should he daven Musaf or Mincha, which one first? So Rabbi Yehuda will say, listen, daven Musaf first because you're at 12:30 p.m. You've only got a half hour left for Musaf. So take care of the Musaf. Otherwise, you might, if you daven the Mincha first, you're just going to run out of time for saying the Musaf. In order to create this scenario, and we'll say choice that the man has to make, you have to say ad ve'ad bichlal, that until the seventh hour meant up till and including the seventh hour going from 12 to 1 p.m. So he has it's up till and including. Elo, the Gemara goes on to say, Elo i'amris ad v'loi ad bichlal, if you're going to say, however, up till, that Rabbi Yehuda uses, means up till and not including. That means that Musaf will be until the seventh hour, but not including the seventh hour. That means up till 12 p.m., 12 noon. Hechi mishkachas lehu shtei tfilos behadi hadodi. Then how could you have these two prayers appearing time-wise simultaneously? Kevon de'asyo lo shel mincha. When Mincha time comes, which is 12:30 p.m., Asla lo shel Musafim, the Musafim already finished a half hour earlier at 12, because 12 represents the beginning of the seventh hour, and if you'll say up till means, in the case of Rebuta, up till and not including, so Musaf ended at 12 noon. Mincha begins only a half hour later at 12:30 p.m. So in order for the above source to make any sense, namely two simultaneous tefillahs, and he has to choose which one to do first, that can be only if you say ad ve'ad bichlal. So now the Gemara continues. Elomai ad ve'ad bichlal. Is that what you're going to say now about Rebbe Yehuda? Kashya Reisha. Then if you use our arrow markings, you can see what this is referring to. This tells you to go back to Chof Vav Amid Beis. And if you go back there on the lower part of the page, you'll notice an arrow which indicates Chof Zayin Amid Aleph. We will run into a problem. Because if you're going to say, insist on ad, the ad bichlal, kashya reisha, the earlier part of the Tanaic literature which discussed tfilas mincha, will then be a difficulty. And the question was, my iko bein Rebbe Yehuda l'rabbanan, what will the difference be between those two opinions? Because going back to the issue of mincha, plaga mincha, Rebbe Yehuda said ad plaga mincha, and we took it for granted that meant Plag Mincha Achrona means up till, and now you're going to say up till and means up till and including, means up till and including Plag Mincha Achrona, that would be Rebbe Yehuda's time for Mincha, that would take you to 6 p.m. The Rabbanan said the same thing, they said Ad Erev until 6 p.m. So by taking this approach of Ad Ve'ad Bichlal, you're going to run into a problem regarding the mincha issue between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. The Gemara answers, we must caution that this answer is hard to see in the words of the Gemara, hence additional explanation will be necessary to make everything fit together. Mi Savris, the Gemara answers, the high plag mincha. Who is to say that plag mincha, that Rabbi Yehuda said when he was referring to mincha going until plaga mincha, meant plag achrona komar? Who says that that's what he really meant to say? In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says up till and including. We're going to have to stick with that, up till and including. But when Rabbi Yehuda said up till plaga mincha, up till and including plaga mincha, who says up till and including meant up till including the second plaga mincha bringing you to 6 p.m.? Plag rishoina ka'omar. He meant up till and including the first plag hamincha, which was from 3:30 p.m. till 4:45. So you have up till 4:45 to say the mincha shmona esrei. However, we can't stop here. There was a Tanaic source back on Chav Vav Amud Beis where it said explicitly in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Omer plag mincha achrona omru. He said plag mincha achrona. So when he refers to plag mincha, he is referring to the plag achrona. So here the Gemara resolves that issue as well. The hachi ka'omar. Here we have a little star indicating to go back to chaf vav omet beis, which if you do that, you'll see where this source is coming from. This is a restructuring or a reconstruction of that source. The hachi ka'omar, and thusly Rabbi Yehuda meant when he said back on chaf vav omet beis, plag mincha achrona, like he meant this. Until when do you say mincha? Emas nofik plag rishona va'ayil plag achrona. When is it that the first plag ends and the second plag begins? Mechinafki yud alef shos chosirivia. When 11 hours minus a quarter, when 10 and 3 quarters of the day arrives. 10 and 3 quarters hour of the day is 4:45. So that as far as the use of the word ad is concerned, Rabbi Yehuda means ad, the ad b'chlal, up till and including. When it came to Rabbi Yehuda and mincha time, he meant up till and including the first plaga mincha, meaning from 3:30 till 4:45, up till 4:45 p.m. is the time for mincha. The source on Chav Vav Amud Beis, in which it said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer plag hamincha achrona omru, there he was simply defining when plag hamincha comes about, and he meant to say over there when the first plag hamincha ends and the second plag begins, that is at 4:45 p.m. The Gemara continues, Omer of Nachman af anan nami tanina. We have a Mishnah from Maseches Edius which bears this out, namely that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when he uses the word ad, he means to say up till and including. And by the way, he used the term ad also in the case of Tfilas Shachris. And we saw Rabbi Yehuda said over there, if we look back at the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said ad arba shos regarding the Tfilas Shachris. So ad would mean up till and including the fourth hour, meaning you can say Shmona Esrei of Shachris from 9 a.m. till 10 a.m. And the following source will show that that's how Rabbi Yehuda uses the word ad. Afananami tnino, we have a Tanaic source. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova heyid chamisha dvorim. This is not the same Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, but it is a sufficient source to show how to understand ad arba shois in the Mishnah. Now, in this source, there are five different halachas that are listed. In the context of our Daf Yomi Gemara markings shir, which advocates the study of all of the Shas. There are times that sources mention many, we'll call them extraneous points, extraneous relative to the current sugya under discussion, under study. And hence, it's not imperative to explain all of the background to those other sugyas when the hope is that everyone will be learning those other sugyas, each one in their own location. Hence, we're going to be de-emphasizing four of the 5 points in this source for those who are nevertheless interested anyway. So Rashi fills in a great amount of the information. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava mentions Heid. He said over his tradition, as he testified to the following 5 halachas. Number 1, Shememanin es haktana. This has to do with the area of yibum marriages. Number 2, Veshemasin es ha'isha al pi eid echad. A woman whose husband got lost, and we don't know if he's dead or not, so we will enable her to get married based on the testimony of one witness who testifies that they saw him dead. Number 3, Val Tarnigol Shiniskal Bisholayim al Shahorag Esenefesh. There is a concept of a Shor Haniskal stoning an ox that killed someone. This source is telling us that the term ox is simply an example, but it applies to all animals that are responsible for killing a human being. And here's a case of a chicken that pecked away at the soft spot of the head of an infant and killed the infant, and therefore the chicken must be stoned. The al, number 4, is v'al yayin ben arboim yom shenisnasech agavi hamizbeach. Wine after it's aged 40 days, it's then fit to be used in the nisuch hayayin offering on the mizbeach and the beis hamikdash. And what is important for us here is number 5, v'al tomid shel shachar shekorev b'arba shos. The morning daily sacrifice, which corresponds to the Tfilas Shacharis, was offered. Now the base is highlighted in our markings because this is the proof. It is offered during the fourth hour of the day. Be means inside, betoch, inside, in the midst of the fourth hour of the day, showing us Shmamino ad the ad bichlal Shmamino, that when Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah ad arba shos, he meant up till and including the fourth hour of the day. So that wherever Rabbi Yehuda uses the word ad, we can assume ad means ad and up till and including. Omar Rav Kana, halacha for Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha will follow Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah indicated that Tfilas Shachris goes till the fourth hour of the day. Hoyul utnan bebechirto kavasei. Since we have a Tanaic reference in Maseches Edius, Bechirta is an expression referring to Maseches Edius, and Maseches Edius is felt to have very authoritative Mishnayos in it. So since you see a reference to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita in the form of Tomid Shel Shachar Kor Ba'arba Shos, and the Tomid Shel Shachar corresponds to the Tfilah Shacharis, and you have a reference here to the fourth hour of the day, as opposed to Chatzos that the Rabbana mentioned, so we know that the way to go, since you have it a source in Maseches Edius, like Reb Yehuda, that's the way to go. Hence the Gemara rules like him. We should just note that in general, what we call Halacha L'Maisa necessitates further study, going beyond the Daf Gemara to see how Halacha L'Maisa operates, how practical Halacha applies. So it's true here the Gemara says that the halacha follows Reb Yehuda, which means that Shacharis goes until 10 a.m., but there is more on the topic than we are saying now. Continuing in the Gemara, V'al tomid shel shachar shekor ba'arba shois. Man tana leho disnan. The Gemara opens up with a question concerning authorship of the following Tanaic source. The following Tanaic source might sound unrelated to our Gemara. It has to do with the collection of the mon in the Midbar, the food that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, provided the Jews in the desert, was to be collected during the a.m. hours of the day. So we're going to have a source, and we're going to be asking who is the author of this source. There is just there's some background information that one needs before learning the source, and it's background or just reminding ourselves that the Tomid Shel Shachar was a korban, a daily sacrifice that was offered during the morning. The Torah refers to the Tomid Shel Shachar using the word boiker. It says in the Pasuk, Ta'aseh ba-boiker. So the word boiker is a term relevant to the Tomid Shel Shachar. That is by way of background. We have a Tanaic source featuring the Mon. And the Pasuk that opens up this source is found in Shmos Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Chof Aleph. We've included this Pasuk in its entirety on the side of the Gemara, where the Torah says, Vayilketu oisoi ba-boiker ba-boiker ish kefi ochloi. They were expected to collect the mon, each person his portion in the morning, v'cham hashemesh v'nomes, and then v'nomos, and then the sun became heated, and the mon that was not collected would then melt. The Gemara. So we're asking, who is the author of the following source? By the mon, it says, V'cham HaShemesh V'nomos. When was this? Ba'arba Shos. This was at the fourth hour of the day, and it's reasonable to assume that the heating of the sun causing the mon to melt indicates that this is no longer the time for collecting the mon. Like, we'll say, time is up. Ata oimer ba'arba shois o'ena elo b'shei shois. The pasuk that says v'cham hashemesh v'nomos, is that the fourth hour? Maybe it's the sixth hour. Shomer, when the pasuk says by Avram Avinu, it says kechoim hayoim. See the word chom, referring to the yom, the day. The pasuk by the mon says v'cham hashemesh. The shemesh is hot, but not the day. So when it says kechom hayom harei sheish shos amur, that is a reference to chom hayom, is a reference to the sixth hour. Homan mikayim v'cham hashemesh v'nomos. Since there's a change in language, we see that it indicates something else. So that's ba'arba shois. That's at the fourth hour of the day. When you look at Rashi, you'll notice that the description of a chom hashemesh is fourth hour, because prior to that means during, let's say, the third hour of the day, even the shemesh, even the sun, is not described as ham. It's not hot. So when is it that the sun is hot, but in the shade, for example, it's not hot, as opposed to the day being hot, meaning even in the shade, so that we could say the sun is hot at the fourth hour of the day. Money. Who is the author of this source that describes the fourth hour as something that's not boker? Now here we're adding to the Gemara things that you don't see in the words, but if you learn the Rashi carefully, you'll see these points. The question is, who is it that says that the fourth hour of the day is not described as boker? How do I know it's not boker? Because we know that the mon is collected ba-boker. We read that in the Pasuk, Shmos Tes Zayin Pasuk Chof Aleph. The mon is collected in the boker. The fourth hour, the mon is not collected. It says that the sun melts the mon. Obviously, the sun wouldn't be melting the mon at a time people are collecting it. So rather, the sun melts it when it's time's up. No longer, you can't collect it anymore. So mon collection takes place, as the Pasuk says, during the time called Boker. Chom HaShemesh V'nomos is non-Boker. Who then is saying that the fourth hour of the day is not Boker? Money. Lo Reb Yudah V'lo Rabbanan. It's not going to work out like either one of these Tanoim. Why not? E Reb Yudah, Ad Arba Shoy Stami Tzafrahu.
as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, the fourth hour of the day is called Boker, because we know that the Tomet Shel Shachar is offered Ta'aseh BaBoker, it says in the Pasuk. And Rabbi Yehuda said that Tefillah Shachar is up till the fourth hour, and Tefillah Shachar corresponds to the time of the Tomet Shel Shachar. And by the Tomet Shel Shachar it says BaBoker. So Rabbi Yehuda says that fourth hour of the day is called Boker. And E Rabbanan Achatzos Namitzafrahu. And according to the Rabbanan, until noon, which is their perception of time frame for Tomet Shel Shachar, up till noon. So the Tomet Shel Shachar, concerning which the Torah says Boker, that lasts till noon. So we have a Tanaic source that just doesn't have an author to match it. You don't have with Hamashemesh Vinomos, fourth hour is what it says in the source, is Hamashemesh Vinomos, and that is non-Boker, because it's already at that point, there's no more Mon collection, and Mon collection took place during Boker. The Gemara answers, E boyesemo Rabbuda, E boyesemo Rabbonon. In fact, this source could have been authored by either one of them. E boyesemo Rabbonon, it could be that this is the Rabbonon. Omar Kro, Baboker, Baboker. The Pasuk by the Mon technically says Boker twice. Chalkehu l'shnei Bekorim. Split the morning, which is a 6 hour period of time, into two parts. Since the word Boker appears twice, split it into two parts. And the Mon collection was going to take place during the first part, the first 3 hours. That's Boker Rishon. Good. So after the first part of the Boker, then the sun, after the first 3 hours, then the sun became hot. So the fact that the Pasuk says Baboker, Baboker, it's another way of saying collect the Mon in the first half of Boker. Viboyesemo Rabbi Yehuda. We can say that the Mon source is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Hi, Boker Yesera. The fact that by the Mon, the Torah uses an extra Boker, that's Lehaktim Loi Sho'achas. That is to inform them to hasten their collection 1 hour earlier than standard Boker. Standard Boker, if Boker appears in the singular, that means until the fourth hour. With the doubling of the word Boker, it means an hour earlier. So the Mon was an hour earlier than standard Boker, which Rabbi Yehuda will tell you, standard Boker is until the fourth hour. Dekule Alma Miho, V'cham HaShemesh V'nomos Ba'arba Shois. This section of Gemara is something that we alluded to before in our explanation. Here the Gemara clarifies it. Everyone agrees that V'cham HaShemesh V'nomos Ba'arba Shois. That's at the fourth hour. My mashma, how is that implied in the words of the Pasuk? Omer V'acho Bar Yankiv, Omer Kro, the Pasuk says V'cham HaShemesh V'nomos. What hour of the day can be described as the sun being hot and the shade being cool? That would apply to the fourth hour of the day. Prior to that, even the sun is said to be cool. So that we're focusing on the hour of the day that the sun begins to heat up, and the shade is still cool. That's at the fourth hour. Tfilas HaMincha Ad Ho'erev. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Plag HaMincha. Omer Le Rav Chisda Rabbi Yitzchok. Hosam Omer Rav Kahana, there regarding Tfilas HaShachar, Rav Kahana, and by the way, we have a double star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the previous appearing double star and see where this is coming from. So there above, regarding Tefillah Sashachar, Rav Kahana said, Halacha k'Rebbe Yehuda hoyulutnan b'b'chirta kavosei, that the halacha will follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, namely, till the fourth hour, because it said in B'chirta in Maseches Adius, like him, where it taught that the Tomet Shel Shachar, which corresponds to the Tefillah Shacharis, is done by the fourth hour. Hachamai, here with regard to Mincha, what is the ruling? Ishtik v'lo merlo v'lo midi. So Rabbi Yitzchak, who was asked the question, remained silent and didn't say anything. Amar of Chisto, Nechsi Anan. So Rav Chisto says, well, let's see it for ourselves. Midarav Matzli Shel Shabbos, Berev Shabbos Mi Ba'od Yom, from the fact that Rav davened the Mairiv of Shabbos, it's that Shmon Esrei that many of us are familiar with, Atol Kidashta, he davened that prayer while it was still daylight. So he was davening Mariv while it's still daylight. Shma Mino Halocha K'Rabbi Yehuda. This shows us that the Halocha will follow Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, if he's davening Mariv while it's still daylight, it would indicate that during daylight hours, the Mincha time is already finished. So when did it finish? It finished at Plag HaMincha. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Because if, once again, just to repeat this point, if you're davening Mariv during daylight hours, it's Mariv time and not Mincha time anymore. So that during daylight hours, Mincha time finished. So this shows us that Mincha time goes till 4:45, after which Mariv time would begin. So from Rav's practice, we conclude that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara challenges it. Adarabba, to the contrary, Midrav Huna v'Rabbanan lo havu matzlu ad urta, from the fact that Rav Huna and the other rabbis did not daven Mariv until nightfall, Shma Mino ein halacha krebuta. So we would see from their practice that they waited till urta, till nighttime, that the halacha is not like Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda would not have required them to wait till nighttime. At this point, the Gemara says, Hashta delo itma hilchasa loy kemar velo kemar. The Gemara comes to, since the halacha is not stated, not like Rebbe Yehuda, and in other words, it's not stated that one follows Rebbe Yehuda, it's not stated that one follows the Rabbanon, the Ovid kemar Ovid, u the Ovid kemar Ovid. If one were to follow the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, fine, Ovad means he's done what he has to do. And if he follows the opinion of the Rabbanan, that also is okay. So that one has the option available to go either like the Rabbanan or to go like Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Iklo Lebe Geneva. Rav visited the home of Geneva. Geneva is a personality that we've seen earlier in this Masechta. And he lived at the time of Rav, and there was a great deal of contact between the two personalities. Great deal, we mean we see them in the same context on a number of occasions. So Rav was visiting Geneva's home, Vitzoli Shel Shabbos Berev Shabbos. And he was, as we saw before, Rav davened the Shabbos Mairiv during Erev Shabbos, during Friday time, during Friday afternoon hours, late Friday afternoon. V'hava matzli Rav Yirmiya bar Abba ala chorei de Rav, and Rav Yirmiya bar Abba was positioned behind Rav. V'siyem Rav v'lo paske l'tzlosei de Rav Yirmiya. Rav finished his Shmona Esrei before Rav Yirmiya, and Rav did not physically interrupt the Shmona Esrei of Rabbi Yirmiya. And what does that mean? So Rashi at the bottom line says, "Velo paske v'tzlosi klomer lo hifsik bein Rav Yirmiya v'lo koisel lavor lefonov." He Rav did not walk between Rav Yirmiya and the wall. V'leishiv bimkomo ela omad al umdo. Rather, Rav stood where he was. He didn't want to walk between Rav Yirmiya and the wall that was in front of them. From this story, the Gemara says, Shma Mino Tlas, we conclude 3 points. Number one, Shma Mino Mispal Odom Shel Shabbos Berev Shabbos. That one can daven the Shabbos Mairiv during Friday afternoon hours. Ushma mino nispalo Talmud achori Rabo. Rabbi Yirmiya was a student of Rav's, and you can conclude from here that a student is entitled or allowed to daven in back of his rabbi. This will be qualified later on in the Gemara, though. Ushma mino osur lavor kineged mispalin.
And it's also one can conclude from here that one cannot pass between those pass in front of those that are in the middle of their Shmon Esrei. Misal Rav Shuben Levi. This supports Rav Shuben Levi's teaching. Rav Shuben Levi also lavor kenegam espalin, that one is not allowed to walk in front of those that are in the middle of their Shmon Esrei. The Gemara asks, Amy, is that so? Vaha Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi Chalfi, they walked in front of those that were davening. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi chutzla ba'amus hu dechalfi. When Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi were seen walking in front of those that are davening, they were at a distance greater than 4 amos from the person that was davening. So that what we are going to say now is, in light of this Gemara, is that the prohibition of walking in front of one who is davening is walking within his 4 amos. The Gemara asks a question. For Rabbi Yirmiya Hechi Ovid Hachi, this question lasts a number of lines. We have a long question marking with a illustrated by the encircled kuf to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text and a descending vertical dashed line which takes you down several lines down from the top of Omid Beis. You'll see the question ends 5 lines from the top of Omid Beis. So the question is, how could Rabbi Yirmiya have behaved as he did? Namely, how could he have davened in back of Rav, his Rebbe, his teacher? Once again, Rabbi Yirmiya Hechi Ovid Hochi, V'ho Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, Li'olam Al Yispalol Odom. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. The instruction here is, a person shall not daven loy keneged raboy velo achoyrei raboy, not to his teacher's immediate side. Rashi says that makes the student look as if he's equal to his rab, and that is a lack of respect. And velo achoyrei rabo, and not in back of his rab either. Rashi says that's yuhara, that is an expression of haughtiness. The Tosfos quotes Rashi and mentions another pirush, and it appears as if he's bowing to his Rav, which of course would be something reprehensible. One bows only to the Almighty and not to any human being, no matter who he is. So that's the basic question, is that you have this teaching that you're not allowed to be behind. We've dashed, underlined this expression of L'Achorabo, because this is what Rabbi Yirmiya was doing. Vitanya, the Tanaic source elaborates on this and says, Rabbi Lezir Omer Amispala Choy Rabo, one who davens behind his Rav, Anosin Sholom Rabo, one who greets his Rav, Amachsi Sholom Rabo, one who responds with a greeting to his Rav, Acholek Al Yeshivas Rabo, one who argues with his Rav, Vomer Domer Shalo Shoma Mipi Rabo, or one who quotes his Rav something that the Rav never said, Gorem Lishchinish et Estalik Misrael, causes the divine presence to leave Israel. For our purposes, without getting involved in the details here, you see that from what we've dashed under, Mispalo Chorabo is a very negative behavior. The issues of greeting the Rav, some of these other issues mentioned in the source, are dealt with by Rashi and Tosfos, so that we will leave that aside for the time being. For those who are interested, the Gemara markings site offers a shiur on the Tosfos. So that can be dealt with on another occasion. In the meantime, we have Rabbi Yirmiya's problem. How could he be davening in back of Rav, his Rebbe? The Gemara answers, Shaini Rebbe Yirmiya Bar Abba de Talmud Chover Have. He was a student/friend of Rav's. In other words, it's true that he learned from Rav, but he also was a type of contemporary of Rav and colleague of Rav, so that there was this dual aspect to their relationship, thereby alleviating the severity of this practice of davening behind him. And the Gemara says further on this, the Hainu de Komale Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba, it's with this in mind that we understand the form of speech that Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba spoke to Rav. He spoke to him in the familiar second person form, as opposed to the formal, respectful third person form. Thusly, Mi Badlis
Omar mi badlis Omar le in badilna. This is an out of context quote of their give and take. Their give and take having to deal with Rav having davened an early Shmona Esrei on Shabbos Shmona Esrei on Friday afternoon. Does that correspond to his stopping of Malacha that time of day, late Friday afternoon? Badlis means stopping work. But the reason it's brought into this particular point of the Gemara is because the grammatical form of Badlis is a second person form of speech. Badlis, did you stop your Malacha? And Rav answered him, yes, I stopped. V'lo Omar, the Gemara continues, V'lo Omar mi badlis bi bodil mar. This would be the third person form of speech, which we call the more respectful form, which would be in character of a student to his rabbi, where he would have asked, mi bodil mar, did the master stop? So, just emphasizing our markings, you can see the line above, we squiggle underline the tough of Badlis. That's the demonstration of the familiarity between them, showing us that Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba was a Talmid Chover, a student, but at the same time a colleague, a contemporary, an equal, in a type of equal, enabling him to speak to Rav in the familiar, non-formal, second-person form of speech. Now, the Gemara takes this, we'll call it this tangential proof to familiarity, and now focuses on it with regard to Hilchus Shabbos and the early Shmona Esrei. So now the Gemara asks, and we have to make this point about we can call this a new topic. Even it's Hafsokas Malocha. Regarding someone who davened an early Shabbos Mariv. The Gemara, Omi Bodil, does the fact that someone davened an early Shmona Esrei, an early Mariv Shmona Esrei, a late Friday afternoon, necessitate the stopping of Malacha? The stopping of Malacha, Malacha being that which is forbidden on Shabbos. So, in simple terms, just because you davened an early Mariv, does that mean it's Shabbos for all intents and purposes? There was an occasion where Rebbe davened an early Mariv of Shabbos on Friday afternoon. The nichnas lemerchatz v'yotza. He went into the merchatz. He went into the bathhouse. And the assumption is that bathhouse experiences are forbidden on Shabbos. And you see, after his Friday afternoon Shabbos Mariv, he went into a bathhouse, v'yotza, he left, v'shonol and pirkin, v'adayin lo choshcha. He then taught us a Torah lecture, a Torah shiur, and it still was not dark. Omar Rava. Rava answers that you don't see from Rebbe's practice any indication of a continuation of chol activities, of melachos. Hahu the nichnas lazia v'kodim gzera hava. Rebbe entered the bathhouse not for bathing purposes, but to experience a sweat from the residual heat that had been in the bathhouse, and this was prior to the gezeira, the ruling prohibiting knisa lazia, prohibiting the sweat, the going in for the sweat, or some may refer to this as the schwitz. The Gemara asks, still, Eini v'ha, is this so? In other words, is it so that Malacha otherwise would be forbidden, as Rav seemed to say to Rabbi Yirmiyah above? Eini, is that so? V'ha abaye, shora le l'rav dimi bar livoi, lichburi sali. This was a case after Rav Dimi davened his Shabbos Friday night Mariv, but it wasn't Friday night, it was Erev Shabbos, was Friday afternoon, after he had davened that early Shabbos Mariv. Abaye allowed him lichburi sali. Lichburi sali involves a malacha. It has to do with burning gofris, sometimes translated as sulfur, sulfurizing his baskets. Whatever the case is, for our purposes, that is a malacha. That has to do with burning stuff. And this he allowed, Abaye allowed Rav Dimi after he davened the early Mariv. The Gemara answers that too is no question. Really, as we said before, after davening an early Mariv, it does become Shabbos for you regarding Malacha. Hahu ta'usa havoy. The case involving Abaye and Rav Dimi is that Rav Dimi Bar Livoy made a mistake. He made a mistake. In other words, he thought it was Shabbos. It was, Rashi says, Tosa avoy lo kibel of Tosefa Shabbos mishas tefila midas. He didn't willingly accept a Shabbos extension from the time he prayed. Elo yoyim hamunin hoy v'kosavu chashecha. The Acher Kazor Chachama, it was a very overcast day. He thought it was dark. He thought Shabbos actually set in. So his Shmona Esrei was not a Shmona Esrei with intention of extending earlier the Shabbos, but his Shmona Esrei was done under mistaken circumstances. The Gemara continues with a question. V'ta'usa mi hadra. The fact that a mistake was made, does that mean that you have to daven again? Certainly from the story with Abaye and Rav Dimi, it would appear that since Abaye allowed him to continue doing malacha, it's certainly implied that he would have to daven again when it really became dark, because his whole prayer and acceptance of Shabbos was done under mistaken circumstances. So with that in mind, the Gemara asks, is the fact that the prayer was done under mistaken circumstances reason for davening again? And here the Gemara asks a question that lasts a number of lines. We've indicated this with our long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. V'ho Omar Avidon. Avidon is a name. Avidon said, Pam Achas, and this is toward the end of Shabbos, but we're going to see again an issue concerning a mistake. So we're going to try to extract from these from this incident the common denominator, meaning issue of mistake. So what happened? Pam Achas, toward the end of a Shabbos, Niskashu Shemayim Ba'ovim, the heavens became overcast. Ksur Ma'om Lomar, the community thought, Chashecha Hu, that it's dark. V'nechus Beis HaKnesses, Pa'lu Shemotsoi Shabbos B'Shabbos. They went into Shul and davened the Saturday night Mairiv davening. And it was really Shabbos. V'nispazru Ovim Zor Chachama. The clouds dispersed, the sun continued, the Shabbos afternoon sun continued to shine forth. Bovisholis Rebbe, the Omar, they came and asked Rebbe, what should we do now? And he said, Hoyo Vispalu, Hispalu. Once you have davened, you have davened. And since, with regard to tefillah, it's considered a tefillah, so that we see that Rebbe gave placed a premium on their having davened. Their davening is a davening, so we can, with the same approach, say that on the early side of things, if he davened, albeit under mistaken circumstances and early davening, that's it. He doesn't have to daven again. And yet we got the impression above with the Abaye and Rav Dimi story that since Abaye allowed him to continue doing malacha after he davened his mistaken Shmon Esrei, that he would have to daven again. And yet you see in this story, Rebbe says you don't have to daven again. The Gemara answers that there's a difference between the story with Rebbe and the story above with Abaye. Shiny Tzibor. The case of the public is different. The lo matshrichinon luhu. We don't impose difficulties or we don't want to trouble the public. In other words, once you had a public Shmona Esrei being davened, we say that they don't have to daven again. So we don't make them daven together again. However, by a yochid, by a private person, he would have to accept Shabbos again because his original acceptance was on mistaken grounds, and an acceptance on mistaken grounds is not considered an acceptance. And as such, he would have to daven, he as a private person would have to daven again. Let us glance at the Rashi. Hoyel v'spal espalu v'lo hitzricham l'spal mishetechshach alma tfilahi. The fact that Rebbe in that incident did not require them to daven again showed us that it was a legitimate davening. The afapi shelo hutru b'melacha, even though they would not be allowed to do melacha, hasam hu d'lalav or divrei Torah. They, don't forget, it was a late Shabbos afternoon thing, so he wouldn't be able to, Rebbe wouldn't be allowed, enable them to allow them to do melacha. It's still Shabbos, and that would be a Torah violation. Avol le'inyan toisefes, but regarding the Abaye and Avidon, the story with Rav Dimi and Abaye, which was an issue of adding to the Shabbos, afagav debatois have toisefes hu ayudei tefila. This was the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara's intention was to show that that would have been considered a real acceptance of Shabbos through his tefila. Hoyol v'omar tefila kabbalah hi. Since he said a tefillah, it is a formal Kabbalah. So this was at the, this Rashi is explaining the Gemara at its question stage, namely of emphasis placed on the tefillah being a tefillah. The Gemara then answered, not really. In the case of the tzibur, we don't expect them to daven again as a tzibur. That's because of the unique element of them being a public. However, on a private basis, as was the case with Abaye and Rav Dimi, that is really not a tefillah because it was done under mistaken circumstances, and therefore he was allowed to do malacha, and therefore he would have to, it would seem from the context of this Gemara, he would have to daven again. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Chiya bar Oven. Rebbe, Tzoli Shel Shabbos Be'er of Shabbos, Rebbe, Rav, that is, let's correct ourselves, Rav, Tzoli Shel Shabbos Be'er of Shabbos, Rav davened an early Shabbos Mariv on Friday night Mariv on Friday afternoon, Rabbi Yoshia Matzli Shel Moitzoi Shabbos B'Shabbos, Rabbi Yoshia did his Saturday night Mariv while it was still Shabbos. The Gemara will go over these, as you can see with our markings. You see a dashed, underlined number with together with a number 1, Rav Tzoli Shel Shabbos Be'er of Shabbos, and a few lines later, third wide line, you see number 2 with Rav Yoshia. So here the Gemara goes over these points. Rav Tzoli Shel Shabbos Be'er of Shabbos, Rav who davened the early Friday night Mairev, Oimer Kedusha Al HaKois, Oino Oimer Kedusha Al HaKois. Does he recite Kiddush over a cup of wine or not? The Gemara does not elaborate on this, so the one could assume that the issue is if he davened an early Mariv, can he also at this early time of day make Kiddush? We're talking about late Friday afternoon after his having already said the Shabbos, the Ato Kidashto Shmona Esrei of Friday night, but he said it early. Can he now make Kiddush? Toshma, the Gemara responds, Yomar of Nachman Mashmuel Mispal Odom Shul Shabbos Rav Shabbos V'Yomer Kedusha Al HaKois V'Hilchaso Kavosei, and we will accept that too as halacha, so that if a person accepts an early Shabbos, it's also an acceptable time for making Kiddush. Rav Yoshia Matzli Shel Mutzui Shabbos B'Shabbos. Now the question is, Oimer Havdol Alakois, Oino Oimer Havdol Alakois. Here's a person that said the early Saturday night Shmona Esrei while it was still Shabbos. Does he recite Havdolah with a cup of wine or not. Now, there is more information that would be necessary to appreciate this, and Tosfos fills in this information, and it is, Tosfos points out under Dibur Masel Tzolish and Motzoi Shabbos, Yesh Lomar, you should explain, Tosfos says, Docha Mayr Sheyesh Lo Tzorach Mitzvah Lasus Motzoi Shabbos, he has some urgent mitzvah matter to tend to on Saturday night. Kagon Lo Leches Lomul Tinok, he has to get on the road to in anticipation of a bris milah that will take place. Velo Yeh Lo Yain Lavdola Im Lo Yaktim, and because he'll be on the road, he won't have on Saturday night during the nighttime hours any wine for making Havdola if he doesn't do it now. He's certainly going to have to extend Shabbos time, Shabbos, let's say, non-activity, non-malocha, which is a Torah requirement. Avol b'chinom lo, but for no reason, no extenuating circumstances, one would not daven the early Shmoneh Esrei and entertain the possibility of making Havdalah on Al-Kos. Tosfos goes on to say, "Upshita shelohoy memaron lahavdil espalish mosoy Shabbos b'Shabbos, degam b'malocha osur im chashecha." It's obvious, Tosfos says, that people would not hasten to daven the Mariv of Motzoi Shabbos on Shabbos, and Malacha also would certainly be forbidden until the darkness set in. So this story involving Rabbi Yosha, it had to involve some type of extenuating circumstance, and this led to the question of, can he say at this early time the Havdalah passage, the Havdalah prayer over a cup of wine? The Gemara goes on, Toshma, the Yomar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, Nisbal Odom Shil Motzoi Shabbos of Shabbos, a person can daven the Motzoi Shabbos Mariv on Shabbos itself, the Omer Havdalah Alakos, and also recite Havdalah over the cup of wine. This, one should not confuse this halacha with the prayer, with the bracha, with the blessing one makes over the candle, the fire on Motzoi Shabbos. That obviously would have to be done during the night after Shabbos is already complete. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rav. So there is a story that certainly spans a number of generations. You can see all of the names quoted from here. The following story, Betzad Omud Zeh, Omud is a pillar. So it was by the side of this pillar, Hispalel Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. So that was a tradition that Rabbi Zera had going back to the time of Rav, who said that by the side of this particular pillar, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was from the Tanaic period, davened late Friday afternoon, davened what we call the early Mariv, the early Shabbos Mariv. Ki osa Ula, Omar, when Ula came, he clarified the details of the story as follows. And that's why we have this numbered as Roman numeral 1 and now number 2. Bitzad Tmora Havet, Velotza Bitzad Omud Havet. First of all, the location was by the side of a palm, of a date palm, and not by a pillar. Velo Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Havet, Elo Rabbi Elozer Rabbi Yossi Havet. And second mistake that you made is that it wasn't a story involving Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, but another son, Rabbi Elozer Rabbi Yossi. Velo Shel Shabzer Shabbos Havet. It wasn't a Friday afternoon, early Shabbos, early Mariv story. Ella Shemotzoi Shabbos b'Shabbos Hava. It was a late Saturday afternoon, late Shabbos afternoon, and the issue there was a Saturday night, a Motzoi Shabbos Mariv being said on Shabbos itself. So you can see that we've numbered off 3 points that the original story simply got wrong according to Ula. Tfilas Soerev Ein Lo Keva. My Ein Lo Keva. What does that expression mean? Which literally means that it has no fixture. E Lema. We've scrolled in E Lema on the next line. Ella. These are stages of analysis. E Lema. The E Boy Matzli Kuli Leila. If the intent is to say that you have all night to daven, so then listen Tfilas Soerev Kol Alayla. Then use the more practical, common expression that tefillos erev is all night. Elo, my ein lo keva. So when, what do you mean by saying that it's ein lo keva? Keman de omar tefillos arvis rishus. By saying that it's not fixed, it's not established, you're saying, you're reflecting the opinion that tefillos arvis is rishus. Rishus would mean, possibly translated as tefillos arvis is optional. However, that would be doing an injustice to the institution of arvis. We look at the Tosfos, the second Tosfos from the end, Halacha Kedivrei Omer Rishus, Lav Dafka Rishus, doesn't mean literally optional, Elo Kedeprishus, but rather as Tosfos explained in Dibur HaMaschil, in a previous Dibur HaMaschil Ta'a, Kedeprishusli El, and Dav Chofov, Ulekach Nikro Rishus, Levatlo Avur Mitzvah Cheres HaOiveres. If a person, let us say, had a mitzvah to perform, and if he doesn't do it now, he's going to lose out completely. So we will say that you pass up on the arvis and tend to that other mitzvah overis. And what gives us the right to say pass up on the arvis is the fact that it's categorized as rishus. Rishus as opposed to chova, something that's totally obligatory. However, once again, we must emphasize by saying tefillos arvis rishus and translating it as optional is not the whole story. The idea of it being optional or secondary is only in the context of another mitzvah that needs to be performed, and if you don't do it now, you won't be able to do that other mitzvah at a later time. So by using the expression tefillos arvis ein lo keva, you're reflecting the opinion that tefillos arvis is considered rishus. But not everyone holds that tefillos arvis is rishus. All we're saying is that the Mishnah here that says it reflects that particular school of thought. The Omar Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel tefillos arvis, Rav Gamliel Omer Choyva, Rav Yishu Omer Rishus. You can see that it's really a machlokas that dates back to these Tanoim between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, our Mishnah reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Omer Abaye Halacha Kedivrei Omer Choyva VeRava Omer Halacha Kedivrei Omer Rishus, and this Machlokes Tanoim continues down many generations, where even Abaye and Rava are arguing about that. Tanu Rabbanon. Here is a story that's featured in a Tanaic source. Maisa b'Talmid Echad Sheba Lifnei Rabbi Yeshua. A Talmud came to Rabbi Yeshua, and this the identity of this Talmud will be revealed by eventually getting to Chof Ches Amid Aleph at the lower part of the page. And if we spill the beans now and ruin the story, so to speak, you can see there's an arrow that appears here and also on Chof Ches Amid Aleph toward the lower part of the page, where the Gemara reveals the identity of that Talmud, where it says V'oisa Talmud Reb Shimon ben Yochoi Have. It was Reb Shimon bar Yochoi, the famous Tana, sometimes known as Rashbi, who is this Talmud. So an incident involved Talmud Echad, a student that Shebo Lefnei Rabbi Yeshua. Omar Lehi, he asked Tal Tfilas Arvis Rishus Chayva. Omar Lehi, and Rabbi Yeshua answered Rishus. Baal Lefnei Rabbi Gamliel, Omar Lehi Tfilas Arvis Rishus Chayva. And the student came to Rabbi Gamliel and asked, is it Rishus Chayva? Omar Lehi Chayva. And Rabbi Gamliel said, it in fact is Chayva. Omar Lehi, so the Talmud said to Rabbi Gamliel, he said, Valor Rabbi Yeshua Omar Lehi Rishus. No, you're saying it's Chayva, but what about Rabbi Yeshua? He told me that it's Rishus. Amalei, Rabbi Gamliel said, Hamtain, wait at shikonsu bali tresim lebeis hamedrash. Wait until the other Torah scholars assemble in the Beis HaMedrash. Tresim literally are the owners of shields. Shields are characteristic of warriors. Talmidei Chachamim, Torah scholars, are viewed as warring in Torah. It's a battle for the truth. So he said, wait till the Talmidei Chachamim assemble in the Beis HaMedrash. Kishenichsu by Chasen Omad Hashoy V'Shoah, when they finally assembled, so the student, the questioner, arose and asked, Tfilas Arvis Rishus Chayva? is it that, is it Rishus or Chovah? Amar Rabbeinu, Chovah. And Rabbeinu announced, it is Chovah, it is obligatory. Omar Lohem, Rabbeinu Chachamim. Rabbi Gamliel then turned to the public and said, "Is there anyone that disagrees?" Amale Rabbi Shulav, "No, no one disagrees. Everyone accepts what you're saying." Amale Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Yeshua, "Lo mishimcha amruli rishus." He says, "It was in your name that it was told to me in your name that you are of the opinion that it's rishus. And how is it that you are saying that everyone agrees that it's chova?" Omar Lei, Rabbi Gamliel continues speaking, and he says, "Yehoshua, amod al raglecha v'yaidu boch, stand up and let testimony be said concerning you." In other words, you've got here Rabbi Yeshua saying something other than that which was reported in his name earlier. Omar Rabbi Yeshua al raglo v'yomar, Yeshua arose and announced, "If I were alive and he who said in my name to the contrary was dead, I could stand here and simply counter that which was said by someone who now is dead. It would be no problem for me to simply contradict that information. However, now that I'm alive and he is alive, how can I stand here and counter and challenge someone else who's standing opposite me? It's much more difficult. So therefore, I have to concede that I said, in fact, it was Rishus." So you have the imagery. The imagery is fairly clear of a public assembly. Rabbi Gamliel conducting the discourse, Rabbi Yeshua standing in front of the public, and it's a rather embarrassing scene, if you will, for Rabbi Yeshua. Hoya Rabbi Gamliel Yoshev V'dorish, Rabbi Gamliel was seated holding forth a Torah lecture. Rabbi Yeshua Omed Al Raglav, and Rabbi Yeshua continued standing there. He wasn't given an instruction to sit down, so he continued standing. But this was very embarrassing. Until murmurings, the assembly started to murmur. They were bothered by the shame that Rabbi Yeshua was experiencing, and they told chutzpah is a name. They told chutzpah haturgum. A turgman is the person assigned to repeat in a public form that which in this case Rabbi Gamliel was lecturing. He would make it public. He would be the human public address system. So they told Chutzpah Amo, they said, stop the lecture. The Omad, and he stopped. Amri, the public outcry, Ad Kamo Nitzare Venezel, how long are we going to cause him to suffer and continue this way? And in fact, this scenario, this situation of Tsar that Rabbi Yeshua experienced is something that has a past to it. And they list off the different experiences where this took place. Rosh Hashanah Ishtake Tzare, regarding a calculation concerning Rosh Hashanah, Ishtake means last year, he was subjected to shame. Bevechoros, B'maisi Rabbi Tzodot Tzare, and concerning a matter in Maseches Bechoros, with regard the incident involving Rabbi Tzodok. Again, Rabbi Gamliel caused Rabbi Yeshua shame, suffering. Hachanami Tzare, are you, Rabbi Gamliel, going to cause him again for a third time pain and shame? To v'navri, let us go and impeach Rabbi Gamliel. So that they made a public decision to impeach Rabbi Gamliel, who was up to that point the leader of the Jewish people. Man nokim lei. Well, the question now is, who shall replace him? So the Gemara has several suggestions, which we go through with our double underline to give you the different stages in their attempting to reach a decision. So who should we put in his place? Nukmei the Rabbi Yeshua. Should we set up Rabbi Yeshua? No, that wouldn't be right. Baal Maisehu. He was the one that was the subject of the of Rabbi Gamliel's impeachment. And as Rashi says, that would be too painful to Rabbi Gamliel to have Rabbi Yeshua, specifically Rabbi Yeshua, the one set up to replace him. Nukme le Rabbi Akiva, maybe we should have Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva be the replacement. Rabbi Akiva being a giant in a giant Torah sage, certainly fit to occupy that position. So the Gemara says no. They said no. Dilma onish lei the les leis chus avos. Rashi explains here les leis chus avos v'dilma onish lei Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel being so pained by his impeachment could cause Rabbi Akiva, who came from a non-Jewish background, who, and therefore lacking the merit of one's forefathers, to experience a pain or a punishment. In other words, though Rabbi Akiva himself was an exceptionally great individual, in order to have resilience to the punishment caused by one, by someone else's feeling of pain, Rabbi Akiva lacked that protective factor, which is gained by having the merit of one's forebears. And as we said, Rabbi Akiva did not have that particular form of merit, being that he came from converts. Ela nukme l'Rabbelozer ben Azariah. Let us set up Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as the replacement leader. To who he has a number of desirable traits. To who chacham v'oshir, he's wise, he is wealthy, and wealth is very important for a person in leadership in so far as that it enables him to resist bribes, and he could also use his money for the public benefit when necessary. And v'hu asiri v'ezra, and he also is a tenth generation from the great Ezra, who was the leader of the Jewish people at the time of the rebuilding of the second Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara goes over these traits. Hu chacham, he is wise. The imakshi le mefarik le, if he's challenged with questions, he will be able to answer. Fu ashir, he is wealthy. The e is lay lefluchi lebei kesar afu azal polach. If there's a need to pay or to bribe the Gentile authorities for the sake of the Jewish community, so he will be able to do that. The hu asiri leEzra, the is lay zchus avos v'lamotzi onish lay. He has this. He has merit of his forebears. Ezra being the beginning of this particular dynasty, if you will, or this chain, this genealogical chain, and Ezra himself was a Kohen that could be traced back generations before. But for the context of this Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is traced back to Ezra HaSofer, and thereby affording Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah with the merit of his forebears, v'lo motzi onish lei, and Rabbi Gamliel, even if he feels a sense of pain, and that would be directed at Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, his replacement, that will not have an effect on Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Asu v'amru lei. So they came and informed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah about their decision to appoint him as leader. Nicho lei lamor delevei reish misifta. They asked him, "Are you? Is it pleasant to you? Is it acceptable to you to be the head of the?" Of the Mesifta of the Yeshiva, Amar Lahu. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Ezel v'imlich v'inshibesi. I must consult with my wife. Inshibesi meaning my wife. Ezel v'imlich v'visu. He went to consult with his wife. Amra lei. So she told him, and now we continue with the Gemara on the top of Chof Ches Amar Aleph. So she said to him, to her husband, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Dilma me'avrin loch. They might impeach you too. That's a very painful experience, and maybe it's not worth it to rise to that office just to fall from it. Omar lo, so he answered, L'shtamish inish yuma chada, because of the mikro, ulamochor lizbar. it's worth it to use, he uses an analogy, to use an expensive glass goblet, and the next day it is smashed. The Rashi on the second line from the top says, Kosa de Mukra, Kos Zechuchis Yukora, Shikora Nabalosh Nishmael Arkaya. The Ormi Bnei Odom, B'moshel Hedyo, the people say as a common analogy, Yoyim Echod Yishtamish Bo Bailov, Yiskabit Bo, Vim Yishover Yishover. The honor that a person derives from the use of this expensive utensil is worth it, even if it's for one day and the next day it breaks. Omrole, so his wife continued and said, Les lo chivrasa, you don't have white hairs. And Rashi says, Ein lo saris levonos shel zikna v'noy ledarshin zokein. You appear youthful. And taking Rashi and the common explanation of this is that he was a young man, and the Gemara will point that out in a few lines from now. And as being quite youthful, you don't have these white hairs, and it's proper for a public speaker, public authority, to appear aged. So the Gemara goes on, Hahu Yuma Bar Tamnisor Shonehava. That day was his 18th birthday. He became 18 that day. Israchish Le Nisa, a miracle happened, Vahadru Le Tamnisori Dori Chivrasa, and there appeared on his beard 18 rows of white hair. Hainu de Ka'omar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and it's with this in mind that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Hare ani ke ven shivim shana, and this appeared in the context of the machloikis between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Rabbonon as to the need to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. This is something that we learned back in the first perek of this Masechta, but for our purposes we focus on just this opening comment of his, Hare ani keven shivim shana, I am like, the chof being emphasized, meaning I'm like a man of 70, velo ben shivim shana, and not a man of 70. I'm like 70, in other words, I now have the appearance of a person of that age, when in fact he was only 18. Tana, we are taught, Oisayom Soku L'Shemra Pesach, on that day they removed the guard that was at the base medrash door that had been set up, the guard that had been there during the years of Rabban Gamliel, and V'nosna Lohem, V'nitna Lohem Rishus L'Tamidim L'Kones. And with the removal of the guard, the doors were open to all students who want to enter, can now enter. Shoya Rabban Gamliel, Machruz Yomer, Rabban Gamliel's practice used to be, he would announce and say, Kol Talmud Shein Toichu Kiboro, any student whose inner being is not similar to his outer appearance of honor, so Lo Yikonis Leveis HaMedrash. Rabban Gamliel had a strict standard where if someone's insides didn't reflect his honorable exterior appearance, so he, Rabban Gamliel, was not interested in their being in the base medrash. Well, upon the removal of that particular guard of that on that occasion that the doors were opened, Hahuyuma isvasfu kama safsali, that day a number of benches were added, many more seats were needed. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Pligibo Abo Yosef Bar Dustoiv Rabbanan, Rabbi Yochanan says there was a machlokis between these two schools of thought. Chalomar Isvasfu Arba Mea Sasali, one says 400 seats were added. The Chalomar Shva Mea Sasali Hava, there was 700 seats were added. Upon seeing so many more seats, Kochal Shadait Ramliel, Rabbi Gamliel, who was now sitting there as a member of the general public, no longer the leader, he had a feeling of dismay. Omar Dilmo Chaser Shol Manati Torah Misrael. Maybe, heaven forbid, I was responsible for preventing Torah study from so many people. Achsulei Bechume, he was shown a dream. Chatzvi Chivri Demalion Kitma. Chatzvi are barrels, chivri are white barrels full of kitma, full of ash. The Rashi says demalian kitmo, klomar af elu enom ruuyim. The dream was to show him that these two are not fit. Just like barrels full of kitma is something that is no value, so to all of these that entered are those of no value. They're not students from which you can expect anything. However, velohi, that is not true. Rather, they really were fit. Hahu lisuve daite hu da achsule. The fact that Rav Gamliel was shown this dream was simply to put his mind at rest, but it wasn't true. In other words, the Gemara is saying that the removal of the guard and enabling the many more to enter was really the better thing. Tana, Adios Bobayom Nishnes. The tractate known as Adios was taught that day, the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was put into office. Wherever you see the expression bo bayom, hahu yoima have, it was that day, the day that they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to the leadership position, and the day that they had removed that guard. There wasn't any point of halacha that remained in doubt that wasn't explained. The Af Rav Gamliel lo mona atzmo es medrash afilu shachas. Even Rav Gamliel, and this shows the greatness of this man. He obviously experienced a tremendous downfall, and yet he did not stay away. He himself was present in the Beis Medrash. And the Gemara adds, he wasn't missing there from there even for even 1 hour. And this is explained. This is shown by the continuation of the Gemara, which Amir Tzashem we will pick up with next time. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings, Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.